Today's Shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos, Daf Lamed Tes. We're going to begin 6 lines from the bottom on Lamed Ches and Beis. Even though we did this yesterday, we'll chazu it over, and that will bring us into today's Shiur very easily. So we'll begin 6 lines from the bottom, Lamed Ches and Beis, with the words Omer Abaye. Abaye tells us, Bo Aleha Umeisa Potter. If Rachmana Litzlan, a woman was assaulted, and then before the din was paskind, so in that situation, the father is not entitled to get the knas from her. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, V'nasan, and the full pasuk is, V'nasan o'ish ha-shochev imo, la'avi ha-nara, he shall give it to the father of the nara, implying it has to be a nara that is alive and not a nara that is mesa. V'lo la'avi mesa. So this was a Abaye's statement. We had darshaned this previously, and very straightforward. This was Pasha to Abaye. So the Gemara tells us, Milso de Pshit to Leili Abaye, Miboy Leili Robert. That which was so straightforward to Abaye was the question that Robert raised. It was the question that Robert raised. Robert raised the following question. The boy Robert asked, Yeshu Beger Bakever, O Ein Beger Bakever. Now, again, as Rashi tells us, in the first Rashi, Dibra Masa Yesh Beger Bakever, in Mesa bin Narosa, if the woman dies Nebuch while she's a Nara, Achalo Omda Bedin, before she was in the trial for being assaulted, for being raped, and she would be entitled to the knas from the person who was ma'anis her, v'yigiyazman bagrusa, bakever, and she reached the age now of being a bogeris, 12 years and 6 months, and she reached this while she was Nebuch dead. So the time came, as I pointed out. Let's say, for example, she was assaulted when she was 12 years and 4 months old, and now, by the time the din is paskin, she would have been 12 years and 7 months old. But she died when she was 12 years and 5 months old. So, mi choshiv beger, oh lo. Does it consider that she's a bogeris in this situation, and the knas would go to her, which in this situation would mean her direct descendants, or would it not? Because she's a bogeris and she's not entitled to a knas. And as the next Rashi says in Yesh Beger Bekever, he hechi the imlo hispiku lamo bedin achibog. We're in a regular case where she was assaulted, let's say when she was 12 years and 4 months, and the din is only possible when she's 12 years and 7 months, so she's alive in this situation. And we're going to learn in the next parak on Dav Mem Aleph that in this situation where she is now a bogeris at the time of the psak din, Dari hein liatzma, then she gets the knas and not her father. Below Lavia. So this is the question that's now being asked over here. Do we say that she is a beggar bakever? She became a bogeris, albeit that she's dead, in what would have been her 12th year and 7th month, and therefore, mafkia koach ha'av, and her father's rights to this knas go away, and she would be entitled to it, but she's dead, so therefore, ubinoy yorisla. So she has a son, that son would inherit her, im yeshla bay. So that is Rava's question. Yesh beggar bakever, oh, ain't beggar bakever. Do we say Yesh Beger Bakever Udibino Heve that her son would inherit it? Or do we say, oh no, Oduma ain't Beger Bakever, there is no Bagris in the Kever, and therefore she died when she was in Naira, Udavia Heve, and her father retains the right to getting her Knas. Now we turn to Lamates Bar Aleph. Here's New Gemara. Until now it was Chazara, here's New Gemara. So Gemara questions, how could it possibly be that a girl who is in Naira could have a child? Well, Mima Abra, how could she possibly become pregnant that we should ask this question over here that the money for the knash should go to her as now a, quote, bogeris, even though she's dead, and it goes to her son. How could she possibly have a son or a daughter? How could she possibly have a child? Well, Mima Abra, how could she get pregnant? Well, Tani, Rabibi, Kameda Rav Nachman. Rabibi learned in front of Rav Nachman the following halacha. We had this previously as well in Yevamos. Shalosh Nashim Mesham Shos B'moch. There are 3 women that are allowed to go and practice some sort of birth control via using a moch. A moch is some sort of a cotton that they put inside them in order to absorb the zera. And this is similar to a contraceptive that we have called the sponge. So Shalosh Nashim, these 3 categories of women are allowed to use this halachically because of the reasons that the Gemara will tell us. Number 1, who are the 3 women? So Elohim, these 3 women are Ketana, a girl who is a Ketana, which we'll define in a moment as a girl who is between the ages of 11 and 12, because before 11 they're not going to get pregnant. Between 11 and 12 they're able to get pregnant, but it's much more dangerous. And this is medically true as well. Younger girls who get pregnant, Rachmana Litzlan, are at much higher risk of complications from the pregnancy. So a Ketana is allowed to use this smoke according to the Tana. Kama, Umuberis, a woman who is pregnant, because we're concerned that it's going to impact the growing fetus inside of her if she were to get pregnant again. Again, that's something that medically is possible, albeit very rare, that a woman can get pregnant a second time while she's pregnant already. Very rare, but it can occur. And this would either impact, as Rashi says, as wrote down by the Bach, either would impact the baby that's already growing in there, or it would impact the new baby that was being formed. Or Miniko, a woman who's nursing, we're concerned over here that if she were to get pregnant, so it's going to dry up her milk, and the baby, who Nebuch is relying upon the mother to nurse her, and they had shortages of formula, they didn't have formula. Right? Not the shortages that we have nowadays. The woman, if she couldn't nurse a child, the child would often die. So Rachman al-Islam were concerned that she would get pregnant, it would cause her not to be able to produce so much milk, and the baby, Rachman al-Islam, could die. So these three women, the Ketan, the Muberes, and the Menika, are allowed to use the smoke. And now the Gemara states what I said outside. Ketana, the young child, Shema Tisabe v'Tomos, we're concerned that she will have a much more serious risk of dying during the pregnancy. So therefore, we don't let her get pregnant. Muberes, the pregnant woman, Shema Tasa Ubro Sando, we're concerned over here that the fetus inside of her that was already there, or as the Bach says, possibly even the fetus that is now going to be new, is going to become incapable of fully maturing. It's going to become like a sandal, a certain type of a fish that was like a flat fish. In other words, one of the ubros, one of the fetuses, is going to be destroyed. Or Menika, the woman who is nursing, because Shema Tigmol has been nursed, she's going to have to wean her child because the hormonal changes in her are not going to allow her to produce so much milk, and therefore the child will die. And how do we define this ketana that we just mentioned, the Ezor ketana? So this is Mibasa Chas, Rishon of Yom Echad, Ashtemus Rishon of Yom Echad. This is from 11 years of one day to 12 years of one day. In other words, the year before she becomes a Nara. In this period of time, she could get pregnant, and it would be very dangerous for her to get pregnant. So the Gemara says, before Pachos Mikan, if she was less than 11 years of one day, or V'yaser Akein, or if she is more than 12 years in one day, in this situation, the Gemara tells us, Mishamashas Kedarko Velechas, then she's allowed to have regular relations, she's not allowed to use contraception, because there is no medical reason here, there is no danger for a girl who's 12 years in one day to go and get pregnant. Now, this is the opinion of the Tanakhama, Divrei Rav Meir. Chacham disagree, Chacham Momim, no, all these women, Achazu V'Achazu, whether it's the Ketana, whether it's the Muberes, whether it's the Menika, have regular relations. Achazu V'Achazu, Mishamashas Kedarko Velechas, they're allowed to have regular relations. And we say, Umin HaShemayim Mirachamu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mirachamu on them because of the concept that we have, Mishum Mishnei Ne'amar, Shomer Pesoyim Hashem. Hashem goes and protects the Pesoyim. Pesoyim can be translated as a simple people, as people that are just doing what is normal in life. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a certain level of protection to people that are doing what is expected to be normal. We have the idea of Dosh Bei Rabin. People do this. This is the way people function. People cross the street. People go and take showers, even though there's risk in both of them of Rahman al-Islam slipping in the shower, getting hit by a car, Rahman al-Islam. But these are normal activities that people do. And therefore, in this situation, Shomer Pesoyim Hashem, the Chacham say, the Ketana, the Muberes, and the Renika are such slight risks over here that this is something where we can use the rule of Shomer Pesoyim Hashem, and they can go and engage in normal relations without having to use a moch. This concept of Shomer Pesoyim Hashem has tremendous ramifications in numerous areas of halacha, and for example, is used today in terms of how are people allowed to still take any risk when it comes to COVID. Because at this point in time, various people feel that there is such a small risk because they've been vaccinated, because they have natural immunity or both, and the treatments are available. So now it becomes a different situation than it was a year or two ago when we didn't have all of those therapies and preventative measures, and therefore now we can possibly apply the principle of Shomer Pesoyim Hashem to allow people to go back to a somewhat normal way of interacting. There is one important halacha l'maisa aside, however, that is if people aren't willing to take this risk, if people are concerned and they don't feel that this is a situation of Shomer Pesoyim Hashem, so then in fact they would be allowed to still use such contraception in this situation or take measures to not allow them to put themselves at risk for COVID or other situations like this, where if a person does feel that there is a significant risk, so halacha l'maisa, we do not rely upon Shomer Pesoyim Hashem, and those people are allowed to, in fact, take those extra precautions. So, for example, these three women, if they felt that they were at a significant risk, Ketana, Umuberes, Umenika, so they would be allowed to use a moch, even in this situation where we say that there is no significant risk, like the Chachamim say. Bottom line is, we see from here clearly that the woman who is before 11 years and one day can't give birth, and even in the year of 11 years and one day to 12 years and one day, it's very unlikely that she's going to give birth. And according to Rav Meir, we do everything possible in order to protect her from getting pregnant. So therefore, how could we have, here's the question now that we're asking, how could we possibly have a situation that Rava said that yesh beger bekever or ain beger bekever, how could a woman have a child when she's a Nara, that she should pass away, that we should say that Ein Beger Bekever, and the father would get it, as opposed to Yesh Beger Bekever, and her child will get it. How could she possibly have a child if you can only have a child really in the Nara period of time. As Reb Meir uses a moch, and the Chachamim say it's very, very unusual, because she's not going to have a child. So therefore, nobody holds that she would have a child when she is in the 11th year of her life, and therefore, in this situation, how could she have a child when she's in Nara? So Gemara says, "Ah, you're going to tell me v'chitema the abra kishi nara." So on the day that she became a nara, 12 years and one day, she became pregnant. The olidu kishi nara, and she gave birth when she's a nara. That can't be because ubishisa yachim ikoyolda. There's only 6 months of naras. So therefore, how could she possibly become pregnant on day one of her naras and then give birth during her nara period of time? The end of her nara period of time is 12 years and 6 months. So you can't give birth in less than a 6 month period of time. After all, Shmuel said that there is only 6 months of Naris. You become a Nara on 12 years and one day, and you become a Bulgaris on 12 years and 6 months. So therefore, there's only 6 months over here, she couldn't be pregnant. So how can we have a situation of Yesh Berger Bakever, or Ein Berger Bakever, according to what Rava asked? And likewise, you're going to tell me that there's never less than 6 months. However, but there could be more than 6 months. So the minimum period of time you're going to tell me of Naris is 6 months. But you could have more than 6 months. So that's not true. Look what Shmuel said. Shmuel said that there is Ein Bein Nara Lebagris Ela Shishu Chadoshim. He says the maximum amount is 6 months. So therefore, we have a problem. Rava's question doesn't make any sense. So therefore, the Gemara says, "Elahochi koma boyle." This is what Rava really asked. That he's asking, "Yeshu beger bakever upoka av odumo ein beger bakever velo poka av." The question is, yes, there's this girl Nebuchu passed away. She was raped Nebuchu when she was 12 years and 4 months. She died when she's 12 years and 5 months. The din is paskind when she's 12 years and 7 months, or what would have been her 12th year and 7 months. She's Nebuchu dead. So we're asking in this situation, does she become a bulgaris in the kever, and the father is no longer entitled to the knas? And obviously, she doesn't have any children, so the knas is gone, and the person who assaulted her gets off easy that he doesn't have to pay the knas in this situation. Or do we say no? That ain't beggar bekeber. She doesn't become a bulgaris in the keber. She died never when she's 12 years and 5 months, so that's her age. And therefore, the father is entitled to the knas, even though now she technically would have been 12 years and 7 months at the time they passed that locha. That's Rava's question. That's the way Rava asked it. Marba Ravashi, boile hochi. He asked it in a slightly different fashion. He said, Misa oso bagrus, o ain oso bagrus. Does the her death essentially make her like a bogeris, and therefore the father's not entitled to collect her knas? Or do we say no, that the mitzvah doesn't make her bogeris? She remains a nara in her death, and therefore the father would be entitled to collect the knas from the person who assaulted her. And the Gemara leaves both Rava's question and Marba Ravashi's question with a teiku, doesn't come to an answer. So this is what we said before, as Rashi points out, where La'el, we said, Milsa the Pshita Leila Abaye. It was so clear to Abaye that the father doesn't collect the knas in this situation. This was a question that Marba Ravashi asked. Does the Misa abrogate the father's right to collect this knas or not? That's essentially what Abaye said, yes, because it says Nosan Lavi Hanara and not Lavi Mesa. And Marba Ravashi is asking over here, no, does Misa Osa Bagras or ain't Osa Bagras? So therefore, what was partial to Abai, it wasn't so partial to Mar Bar Ravashi. It can't be going according to the first understanding that we had of Rava, because in that situation, it was clear that the Misa doesn't take away the Knas, only was the question was, who gets the Knas? Does she get the Knas? Her child get the Knas? Or does the father get the Knas? But clearly, the Knas is still there. And even according to the revised version of Rava, do we say Yesh Bega Bakever or Poka Av or not? So if she doesn't become a Bulgaris, so then the father is entitled to it. So if they Paskin did before the 12 years and 6 months of her life would have been up, so then the father does get it. So it doesn't go according to that. Rava disagrees with Abaye. It's only according to Marba Ravashi do we say that which was partial to Abaye is a shaila to Marba Ravashi. Okay. More now ask another question. Rava asks the following shaila of Abaye. So the woman was Rachmona Luslan raped when she was 12 years and 4 months. And then she gets married to somebody else, the first stage of marriage, when she's 12 years and 5 months. Nisarsa. In this situation, Mahu. What is the halacha in terms of who gets the knas? That's what Rava asked to Abaye. She's still a Nara, so her father would normally be entitled to the knas, but now she's married, the first stage of marriage, so who gets the knas? Does she get the knas, or does the father still get the knas? So Abaye answers, Amalei, Miksiv, does the pasuk say, V'nosan lavi hanara Asher lo arusa. Does the pasuk say that you only give it to the father if the daughter is not an arusa? And implying that if the daughter is an arusa, then you give it to the daughter? No, it doesn't say that. The pasuk says, Asher lo arusa, that she wasn't an arusa at that period of time when she was assaulted. But it has nothing to do with whether she becomes an arusa after that period of time. So the father still gets the knas. So Rava says, wait a second, ul-tamech, but according to you, what about the following brisa? Ha detanya ba aleha venises. What happens if the woman was never assaulted when she was, let's say, 12 years and 4 months, and then she got married? She was fully married, the first stage of marriage, as well as the second stage of marriage, when she's 12 years and 5 months. So in this situation, the knas belongs liatzma. Ba aleha venises liatzma. Everybody agrees in that situation that she gets the knas. Now, after all, why, according to you, Abaye, miksiv in asan labi anara asher lo nesua, does it say that you should give it to the father if she's not in a suah? So Rav is asking Abaye over here, how come in this situation you don't apply the same reason? Just like you said, doesn't say hanara asher lo arusa, so does it say hanara asher lo nesua? So in both situations, the din should be the same, but it's not. So you're telling me over here, by the nara arusa, that the father still gets it, but you're saying by the nara nesua that the father doesn't get it. So Gemara says, Abaye responds, he says, Hochi Hashta, the two cases aren't the same. Because Hossam, in the case where she is a full-fledged Nisua, so then, Hoel u'Bagrus Motsia Mirshus Av, just like Bagrus, when the girl reaches the age of 12 years and 6 months, she leaves the status of being under the domain of her father, and she becomes a full-fledged adult woman. So too, V'Nisuin Motsia Mirshus Av, when she becomes a full-fledged Nisua, she leaves the domain of her father, and she goes in the domain of her husband. So too, in that situation, Ma Bagrus Bo'aleo Bagra. So in a situation where the woman was a Nara, and then she became a Bokeres, so she's entitled to get the Knas herself, Li'atzma. Ma Bagrus Bo'aleo Bagra Li'atzma. She was a Nara when she was assaulted, but now when they're going to the Beis Din and they pass in the case, she's a Bogeris, so she gets the Knas. So too, even though she was a Nara when she was assaulted, but now she's in a Sua, Afnisua, and Ba'ala Venises Liatzma. So now too, she's entitled to get the Knas. So Bagris and Nisuin are the same. So Abaye says, in that situation, the Knas goes to her. However, Elo Erisin, when she was Nebuch assaulted, when she was 12 years and 4 months when she was not an Arusa, but then she became an Arusa at 12 years and 5 months when the din is paskin, she's an Arusa. So Mikom Maf gave me Rishusa the of Ligarme. She's never left fully her father's domain, because we know that a woman who's an Arusa, both her husband, the Baal, as well as the father, have a right to be made for her Nidarim. As we learned in the Mishnah, in the Nidarim, where it tells us, in that situation, she remains in a dual state over here, being in the domain of her father and in the domain of her new husband, because she's an Arusa. So therefore, the father still has the ability to be made for her Nidarim. Therefore, the father still is entitled to get the Knas. So therefore, Abaye tells Rava, the cases are different. You can't compare the drasha that we had for an Arusa to the drasha that we have for an Asua. Okay. Go on to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah tells us, Hamefata, if a woman is Rachmana L'Slan seduced by a man, so that man, he's known as the Mefata, has to pay her certain things besides the Knas. No saying, Shlosho Dvorim, of the 5 types of damages, Nezek, Tzar, Ripu, Sheves, and Boshes, so he has to pay her for 2 of them, plus the Knas. As opposed to Va'ones, a man, the Rachmana L'Slan assaulted a woman, he raped the woman, so he has to pay 3 of those damages, and plus the Knas. Va'ones Arba. So what does this mean exactly? So the Mefata, the man who seduces a woman, so she willingly had relations with him, no saying Boshes, he has to pay the Boshes penalty, which will be explained a little bit more in tomorrow's shiur, exactly what the penalty is for Boshes, to her being embarrassed, Upigam, and what her value has gone down, as if she were to be sold on the free market as a slave, how much a person would be willing to go and pay for a woman who was a Basula versus a woman who is a Be'ula. So those 2 penalties are physical penalties. The Boshes and the Pagam are damages. So the Mefata has to pay for them. He doesn't have to pay for Ripui and Sheves. The Gemara will tell us that the Ripui and Sheves would occur anyway when the woman eventually would become married. So she would have the Ripui and Sheves costs that would be associated with becoming a Be'ula, becoming a married woman. And therefore, the Mefata and the Ones don't have to pay for those. So the only types of damage that they have to pay are Boshes and Pagam, and as well, the Knas. So the Mefata has to pay Boshes, Pagam, which are damages, and then the Knas, the 50 Shkolim penalty that the Torah instituted as a Knas. In addition to what the Mefat has to pay, as we just pointed out, the Ma'anes, Mosif Olav Ones, Shinotin Es Tzar. He also has to pay for the Tzar, for the pain that he caused it to have. Which Gemara will explain also exactly what pain we're referring to. So again, the Mefata has one less physical damages penalty that he has to pay than the Ones, because the Mefata had a willing participant and the Ones did not. Now, Ma'bein Ones Mefata, the Mishnah continues and says, point out the differences between the Ones and the Mefata. After all, they both pay 50 shkolim, albeit we just said that there's some differences between them, so the Knas is the same. What other differences are there between the Ones and the Mefata? So Ones, Nosin Es Tzar, as we just pointed out, the Ones pays in addition to the Boshes and the Pagan, he also has to pay for the Tzar, and the Mefata doesn't have to, but Mefata ain't a Nosin Es Tzar. So that's number one. Number two, Ones, Nosin Miyad, the one who's Ma'anitza has to pay immediately right there, the 50 shkolim. However, the Mefata only pays it L'cheshe Yotzi, when he divorces her. That's the simple understanding. The Gemara's going to question, what do you mean when he divorces her? They're not married. So, according to the Gemara and according to the Mefarshim, we'll understand this as it means when he decides not to marry her or when he divorces her. So then, that's when he has to pay the 50 shkolim knas. And the third difference is ones shose ba'atzitzo. The one who is ma'aniser has to drink from his cup. His otzis is his pot. Right? We have an otzis nokuv, otzis sheinu nokuv. So the ones is forced to stay married to her as long as the woman wishes to be married to him. He is never allowed to divorce her. So he constantly has to be with her. That we refer to as shose batzitzo. He has to drink from his pot. As opposed to the Mefata, in Ratzel Otzi Motzi, the Mefata doesn't have to stay married to her. She was a willing participant. Therefore, he's not forced to stay married to her or to marry her in the first place. And if he doesn't wish to marry her or if he wishes to divorce her, he's allowed to do so. So those are the three differences that are between a Mefata and a Ma'anis. Now, Ketzat Shoshe Batzitzo. The Mishnah itself tells us, what does it mean that she Shoshe Batzitzo? That the Ma'anis has to go and drink from his pot. So, Afilu Hichigeres, he's telling us, even if she were to be a woman who is lame, Afilu Hisuma, even if the woman is blind, Afilu Hi Mukashchen, even if she has some horrible skin disease over here, she has boils all over her skin, then the Ma'anis can't say, I don't want to marry her. Listen, you assaulted her, you raped her, so therefore you have to stay with her even though she has these physical abnormalities. However, the Mishnah does tell us, Nimsa Botvar Erva, if Rahman al-Islam, the woman, committed adultery, so then he does have the right to divorce her in that situation. Or, Osheena Ru'il of Obisro, or that there was a Lav, or even a Durabbanan, and certainly a Kares or a Mises based in prohibition in marrying this woman. So he assaulted a woman that he's not allowed to marry in that situation, ain't a Rasha L'Kaima. Then he's not allowed to marry her. As the Pasuk says, Shinema, Velo Siel Leisha, the Pasuk says, if a man assaults a woman, the Pasuk says, Lo Siel Leisha, she has to be his wife, Lo Siel Leisha, Tachas Eshrina, because he assaulted her, and Lo Yuchal Shalcho Koyom, he's never allowed to divorce her. But that implies that Isha Haru'uya Lo, it has to be Velo Siel Leisha, she has to be Habaya, has to be a marriage that is halachically allowed. And if the marriage is not halachically allowed, then he's not allowed to stay married to her, he's not allowed to marry her in the first place. That's our Mishnah. The Gemara starts off and says, Tsar Demai. When we said that you have to pay Tsar, the Ma'anis pays Tsar, and the Mefata doesn't pay Tsar, what type of Tsar are we talking about? Tosus answers over here, in the bottom Tosus, Tsar Demai, Kosh Lari. He says, Demai Koma Boiler. What the Gemara is asking over here, what Tsar does this woman have? The Gemara doesn't know that there's pain upon rupturing of the Besulin, and that many women get sick from this, and it can be very painful. So what is Gemara asking? Tsar Demai, what Tsar are we talking about? So Tosu says, you're going to tell me, V'chitemo, the Meosa Tsar Pshitele Lashas Depotter, Shari Sofol Itzar Bekach Tachas Ba'ala. Maybe that Tsar, the Gemara says, can't be the Tsar that we're talking about, because eventually this woman is going to become married. She's going to have this Tsar at some point in her life that her Besulin are broken. So therefore, there is no payment for this by the Ma'anes, who is assaulting her, because eventually she would have this tsar anyway. So where it says, "Well, iko kama tanoi bakonis," we're going to have the Gemara in Bava Kama, "the lo chayshe lekichesh gufna pirush dovish esofel yos kain." We don't say, "Well, this is eventually going to happen, so therefore we don't have to pay for it." No, right now he's damaging her. Right now he's causing the pain. So of course he should have to pay for that pain. And therefore Tosa says, "What are we talking about over here?" The question that what type of tsar are we talking about? Tsar demai. The Nir Lari, the tsar biila mishum taivas tashmish. Eino bo bishas tashmish elo acharkach, says that the pain of the bia occurs after the pleasure of the bia. So therefore, the tsar of that breaking the bisulin is something that occurs afterwards. During the bia itself, there's pleasure, but then afterwards, there is the pain. The chol tsar hachavola, the mechayev, hainu oso tsar habolo bishas chavola. And that which we say that your chayev over here for tsar would only be during the actual act of the chavola. Abomash bolo arkach miftar. But any pain that is subsequent to that, he technically would be part for. Because this is the groma bi'almahu. This is an indirect causation, and groma binizokin is potter. And therefore, hilkoch, boy tsar demai. That's why the Gemara is asking, what tsar does he have? Because the benefit, the pleasure of tashmish outweighs the immediate tsar that she may be having, and it's only the later tsar that we'd be talking about, and that later tsar is groma bi'alma and groma potter binizokin. So that's how Tosus understands the question over here, tsar demai. So we have Amar Avua de Shmuel. Shmuel's father said, tsar, the tsar that we're talking about over here, is shachavoto al gabe karka. When he throws it to the ground to a salter, that's the tsar that we're talking about. More questions. It says, Maskevo Zera. Zera says to Avua de Shmuel, Ella, according to what you're saying, meyata chavoto al gabe shiroi. If the person was salted or didn't throw onto the hard ground, but he threw onto silk sheets, onto shiroi, which is nice and soft, hochanami the potter, there would be no tsar in this situation. He would be potter. Ah, you can tell me, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that there is no payment of tzar in this situation. But the price it says, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehuda said over the name of the Tana, Rabbi Shimon, Ones, the person who's Ma'anis, a woman, Einu Mishalon Esetzar. There is no tzar. Why? Mipnei. We turn to Lama Tessa Mibbeis, because in this situation, she's so fully tzar, Tachas Bala, that she's eventually going to have this pain under her husband. So he's of the opinion that, yeah, she's eventually going to lose her besulin. At some point in her life, the woman's going to get married, and she'll lose her besulin. So therefore, you can't make the ma'anis pay for that pain, which she would eventually have to suffer anyway. So that's what Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, Amalo, the Chachamim responded to Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, and they said to him, Eino doma nevelas ba'ones nevelas baratzon. No, you can't compare the two. A woman who is forcibly raped, a woman who is assaulted, so the pain that she's going to suffer during that assault is quite different than the pain that she has a loving husband and they have relations for the first time. So therefore, you can't compare the two. So clearly, it's not talking about the pain of the man throwing her down, because there's no way that the husband would throw her down in that fashion. So that can't be the pain that we're talking about. As Rashi says, would her husband throw her down? So that can't be the pain that we're referring to. So we reject Abu Dishmul's reasoning that it's the pain of being thrown down onto the ground. So what then is the pain that we're talking about? Tsar demai. El Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rabba Ravua. Rav Nachman says the name of Rabba Ravua. Tsar shall pisuk haraglayim. The fact that her legs are forcibly separated and that she's assaulted in this fashion, that is the tsar that we're referring to. And this is based upon the pasuk in Yecheskel where it says, Chayinu Omer, Batefaski esraglayich. L'chol over. Klai Yisrael is described as a woman who is wanton, who opens up her legs for every single person. In other words, a woman who's promiscuous. So Klai Yisrael is described that way, and he uses a lashon v'tefaski, and that's what it means over here. Tzar shel pisuk haraglayim. Okay, where it says, if that's the case, ihoche mefutanami. So why would this be difference between the ma'anes, who's opening up her legs, and the mefut, who's opening up her legs? So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Ravua. Nachman says, in the name of Rabba Baravua, no, Moshol de Mefuta, when a woman is willing participant, so the same pisuk or glayim pain is not there. Lama dove dome, a woman who willingly participates, so it's comparable to the following, Le'odim Shomer Lechavero, to a man who says to his friend, Kira Shiroin Shali, be part there. Go and rip my clothing, rip my silk garments over here, and I won't ask you to go pay for them. So when the woman willingly opens up her legs, so she's basically giving up this tsar. She's giving up the tsar of Pisuk Raglayim. She's saying, I allow you to go and do this damage. It's like you're saying, I allow you to go rip my silk garments and not have to pay for them. Where it says, that would be great if the knas belonged to her. So the knas belongs to her father. Shali, is she saying, Kra Shiroim Shali, V'Potter? She's basically saying, Kra Begadim Shal Abba Shali, V'Potter? Daviu Ninu, the knas belongs to her father. So she has no right to be mochel on that knas. So therefore, there should be knas for Mefuta in this situation as well. So Gemara says, Elo Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Ravua. You're right, that can't be right. So Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav Ravua, this is the answer. What is the tzar? Pikko Sheben Omros Mefuta Ein Lo Tzar. The difference between an Ma'anis and a Mefata is that the Mefata doesn't have tzar. She's a willing participant, and therefore there is no tzar in this situation. As opposed to the Ma'anis, the woman's not a willing participant. Rachmanu L'Tzar, she's being assaulted, so there is tzar. The Gemara says, "Ho kochazino dislay," but we see that even a woman who's a willing participant, the besula on her wedding night, so she can also have tzar of the besula being broken. So Abaye, Abaye says, "No." Armeliyim, he says, "My mother told him again. We mentioned many, many times. Abaye was never an orphan. His father died shortly after conception. His mother died during childbirth, and he was raised by this woman who's always referred to throughout Shas as his aim, his governess, who took care of him." And Armeliyim, so Abaye said that this woman told him that a woman who has willing relations is kimaya chamime areshe de korcha. The pain that is like it's hot water on the head of a bald person. Yes, there is some pain, but it's not something that's very, very significant. Rav Amar, Armli Basu Chista, Rav said that Basu Chista, the daughter of Chista, who was Rav's wife, said to him that this pain was like kirivda de kusilta. This is like the pain that you get when you get a phlebotomy, when you get a blood drawing. So the needle that they stick into you to withdraw the blood, so that's what it feels like. That's the pain of losing the besulin, and the mafuta doesn't have such a painful experience as the woman who never was assaulted. And my Rapapa says his wife told him, Omeli Bas Abba Surah, Rabba was married to the daughter of Abba Surah, so he said that this pain is like kinama, like bread, akusha, that is hard, v'chinchi, in the palate. As Rashi points out, that this is kalechem kosher shegorei sachech. This is like a hard bread that rubs against the soft palate, and this is the amount of pain that the mefuta goes and experiences. Okay, in any event, that is the tzar that we're referring to. Gemara now says, in the Mishnah, ha'ones nosim miyad mafata l'chshiyotzi v'chule, we said that another difference between the one who is ma'anes versus the one who is mefata, so the one who's ma'anes has to go pay the knas right then and there, as opposed to the mefata, he only has to pay the knas when he divorces her. Gemara says, l'chshiyotzi, ishtohi? What are you talking about when he divorces her? Is she his wife at this point in time? So, Abaye, no, it means Ema l'chashalo yichlos. It means when he decides that he's not going to marry, or if he were to have married her and divorced her, so then that's when he has to pay the knas. But if he goes and marries her, then he doesn't have to go pay the knas. So it means l'chashayotzi, it means when he decides he doesn't want to marry her, as the mefata has the right to marry her or not to marry her. Where it says, Tani Nami Hochi, I'll show you that this is true from a braisa. That which Abaye just said is actually found in a braisa. Even though the mefata has to go pay at the point in time when he decides not to marry her, that's in terms of the knas. But boshes upagam nosim yad. If he decides to marry her, nevertheless he has to pay the boshes of the pagam right away. Those penalties are physical penalties, damages penalties, the boshes and the pagam, that he has to pay right away. The knas, he only pays when he decides he doesn't want to marry her. Furthermore, the echad ones, the echad mefata, the din applies both equally to the one who's Rachman al-San assaulted her, as the one who willingly seduced her, bein he u bein avia. This is true in both situations, by the ma'anes or by the mefata, that the woman herself can say, I don't want to marry you, or her father can say, I don't want you to marry my daughter. Bein he u bein avia, yecholin, both of them can say, la'akev, that we don't want this marriage to occur. Gemara now questions this. It says, bishlama mefuta, we understand why the woman who was Nebuch willingly induced to have relations with this man before marriage, we says over there, ksiv imoein imoein avia. So we understand that the Torah gives the right to a father to say, I don't want her to go and marry my. I don't want him to go marry my daughter. I don't want her to be married to him. So that tells me, ainli el avia, the father has the right to do. He atzma minayin. How do we know that the girl herself has the right to refuse marriage from this person? Because it uses the double lashon. Tamalomer yimoein says imoein yimoein. So that's a double lashon mikomakom that the father and her have the right to refuse. So that's why the mafata elo ones, the one who's ma'anis her. We understand Bishloma E, she doesn't have to because it says Ksiv Velo Siyeh Leisha. So if she wishes to be his wife, in other words, Midaita, she has the right to accept the Kedushin. Elovia Minola, where we see that the father has the right to decide that he doesn't want his daughter to marry this person, just like the daughter has the right to say, I don't want to marry him. So where do we see that the father also has the right to say, I don't want to have my daughter marry him? So Abaye says as follows, Omar Abaye, Shelo Yechote Niskar. The first answer that we give over here is Abaye's answer. Rav is going to give a different answer. Abaye tells us that we shouldn't have the Chote, the one who is Ma'anis, or this Rachmona L'Tzlan, this rapist, we shouldn't have him gaining from this because in this situation, if he wants to marry her, so he'll be benefiting from his sin. Because if he had asked the father for the girl's hand in marriage, the father would say, no, I don't want you to marry my daughter. And now, because he raped her, he's going to gain from raping her that the father can't prevent him from marrying his daughter? So therefore, chote niska would occur over here, and Abai says, shelo ye chote niska, we don't want this rapist to go and gain from this deal that he raped her. When if the father didn't want him to marry beforehand, so the father still has the right to say, no, you're not going to marry her now either. Just pay the knas and get out of here. Rava Omar, it's a kal v'chomer. Rava says the following kal v'chomer. The woman who was seduced, she willingly did this, so she only went against her father's desires. Her father didn't want his daughter to have premarital relations with this man. So in that situation, nevertheless, both she and her father have the right to go and say, no, we don't want to get married to this guy. Either one can say, I don't want this marriage to occur. So that's in the case of seduction. So ones, in the case of the rape, that this Russia, this man who assaulted her, went against her will and against the will of the father. So certainly, if in the situation when he only went against the das of the father has the right to refuse to let his daughter marry that mafata. Certainly in the case when the man who did the ones over here, the man who assaulted the girl, he's going against the girl's will as well as the father's will. Certainly the father has the right in that situation. Both of them have the right in that situation to say, no, we don't want to get married to him. Now, we have two terusim over here, Abaye and Rava. Why didn't each one want to say like the other one? Why didn't Rava say like Abaye? Rava lo amar k'Abaye to say shelo yichote nitzkar, because he says, kivon dekomashalim knas, because he's still paying a 50 shekel fine, which is a huge fine. Lav chote nitzkar. You can't say in this situation that a chote is nitzkar. So even if we don't automatically say that the father has the right to refuse the marriage, you can't call him a chote nitzkar because he's paying 50 shekel. And that's why Rava didn't like Abaye's teretz. No, Abaye, why didn't he like Rava's teretz? Why didn't he like the Kav Chomer? Abaye lo amar k'Rava, he didn't like Rava's Kav Chomer, because he says as follows, that there's a difference between the Mefate and the Ma'anis. Mefate, the Iyu Motzi Makev, the Mefate, he himself has the right to say, no, I don't want to marry you. Listen, it was a nice relationship for a while, and I thought I wanted to marry you, but now I changed my mind. I don't want to marry you. So he has the right to go away. So when the Mefata, the Iyu, Motzi Ma'akev, he himself has the right to say, no, I don't want to get married to you. So Avia Nami, Motzi Ma'akev. So the father also has the right to go say, I don't want you to marry my daughter. However, by the case of the Ma'anes, Ones, the Iyu, Lo Motzi Ma'akev, the Ma'anes doesn't have any right to say, I don't want to marry you. As we said in the Mishnah, if she was a Chigeres, if she was a Suma, if she had Mukashchen, he can't say, I don't want to marry you. If she wants to get married to him, so she's allowed to get married to him. So in that situation where the ones doesn't have a choice, so avia nami lo motzi makiv. So we don't give the father a choice as well. We only give the daughter the choice, the girl the choice. If she wishes to get married to this man who assaulted her, so then halachically she's allowed to, and the father can't say no. So that's why Abaye didn't like that logic of Rava, because you don't have a kav chomer. So therefore, that's why Abaye says his reasoning of lo yechote yeskar. Gemara continues by quoting the following brisa. Tanyidach, we learned in the following brisa. Afa pi shamru ones no semiyad. Even though we said that the ones has to pay the 50 shekalim fine, the penalty, right away, kishiyotzi hu. However, when he does divorce the woman, ain't lo a love klum. She has no entitlement to a ksuba, the 50 shekalim knas, that is instead of her ksuba. So Gemara asks the obvious question. Kishiyotzi mi motzi maivikla. We just said that lo sielo liyisha lo yuchal shalcho koyomav. He's never allowed to divorce her. So how could he possibly be divorcing her that he doesn't have to pay ksuba? He's not allowed to divorce her. Someone says you're right. Ema kishatet sehi. If she wishes to be divorced, as Rashi says, im yotso me'eleha v'tova heimenu get. She says, I no longer want to be married to you. I want to get a get. So he can give her the get, but he doesn't have to give her any ksuba. Ein lo olav klum. He doesn't have to pay the ksuba, because the knas that he paid is instead of the ksuba. Now we'll see in a moment the Rabbi Yosef Yehuda disagrees with that. But first we'll continue quoting the Braisa, where it says, Mace, if he dies, so then yotza kesef kinosa b'ksubasa. She's also not entitled to a ksuba as the almana. She lost her ksuba, so to say, because she was already paid her ksuba with the knas, the 50 shekalim. Rav Yosef Yehuda disagrees with both the first part of the braisa and the second part of the braisa. He disagrees in the case where she demands a divorce, so she's entitled to get a certain amount of ksuba, like a ba'ula, like 100 mana, and so too, if the husband dies, she's entitled to a 100 mana ksuba. Rav Yosef Yehuda omer, yesh lo ksuba mana. She has a ksuba of a mana no matter what. Now, what is the machlokas of it between the Tanakama and Rav Yosef Yehuda? Michael Miflike, what are they arguing about? So the Tanakama, the Chachamim, Rabbanan Sabre, they hold Taimo. What's the reasoning? My Takina Rabbanan Ksuba. Why did the rabbis institute the concept of Ksuba? Well, there is a concept that it's a Daraisa. What's the understanding of the Ksuba? Taimo, my Takina Rabbanan Ksuba. Why did the rabbis institute Ksuba? That's because Kadesh Lote Kala Bien of Leotzia. We don't want women to be treated like, the disposable property. The Rahman al-San, the guy says, listen, I want a new version. I want the 2.0 version. I'm not happy with you anymore. You're older. I want a younger wife. Rahman al-San, person shouldn't have that approach anyway. And to help make sure that a person doesn't have that approach, the rabbi says, okay, if you want to get divorced to your wife, you're going to have to pay a sizable amount of the ksuba, and therefore he's going to think twice. Shlote Kala, the end of Lotzia. If he didn't have to pay anything, so just get rid of her and take a new wife. So therefore, that's the normal understanding why there's a ksuba. In this situation, he can't go and divorce her. He's usher to divorce her. So therefore, there is no reason to have instituted a ksuba for this person because he's not allowed to divorce his wife, so it's never going to be kalab ein of lotzia. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. No, that's taka, very good reasoning. Why does Rav Yosef Yehuda disagree with that? Rav Yosef Yehuda, you know what he holds? Sava, he says no. Hanami mitzayla adyamra. You know what's going to happen? He's going to make her life miserable. He says, listen, I can't divorce you, but I don't have to like you. I'm going to make your life miserable until it gets to the point that she is so miserable, she's going to demand a divorce. And it'll be kalabain of lotzia in that respect because he doesn't have to pay anything. So he can make her life as miserable as he wants. And as a result, she's going to want to be leaving this marriage, but that, again, going against what Chazal wanted. Chazal didn't want it easy to divorce her, and this way he'll just make her life miserable. It'll be, quote, easy to divorce her. So therefore the rabbi said, okay, but you're still going to have to pay a penalty. If you make her life miserable, you're going to have to give her ksuba of a mon. Okay. Then we said the Mishnah, Onez Shoseh Batzitzo. We said that the person who's ma'anis, the woman, so he has to drink from his pot. In other words, he made his bed and he has to now sleep in it. He's not allowed to go and divorce his wife. Amalei Rava mi Parzakya l'Ravashi. Rava came from Parzakya. That's opposed to the normal Rava that we have in the Gemara, Abayin Rava. So this Rava who came from the city of mi Parzakya said to Ravashi the following. Michte, let's go take a look at this and analyze this. Migmar gomre mi hadode. We do learn out over here the din of Ones and Mifate from the same idea that we learn out that there's Xer Shava. We learn out that each of them pays 50 shkolim, right? For a moment we knew 50, for a moment we knew shkolim, and we have the Xer Shava to teach us one from the other that you go and pay 50 shkolim both by the onus and both by the Mifate. We turn to Memo and Aleph. Since we learned it out for that din, Loha Mil Sanami Ligru Mihadodi. Why don't we learn it out from here as well? As Rashi points out, Sheyehei Mifate Nosei Al Karcho. Why don't we force the seducer to go and marry her? Just like we force the Ma'anes to go and marry her if the woman wants, if the father wants, as we said. In that situation, the Ma'anes doesn't have a choice in the matter. He has to marry her. So too we should say that the one who's Mifate, this woman, shouldn't have a choice. He should have to marry her as well. Let's learn it out through the same example Shabbat. So I'm going to cry because the pasuk tells us specifically, no, that's not the case. Mohar yimarena lo li'isha, that he has the right, lo, mohar yimarena lo li'isha, lo midaito, that he has the choice in the matter. As opposed to the manis, has no choice, the mafata has the choice. Then we quote the last part of the Mishnah, which says, Ketzat shoshavatzisa v'chule. What is exactly does it mean that he has to go drink from this pot? So we said that if the woman was a chigeres, if the woman was a suma, if the woman was mukar shrin, he's not allowed to go and divorce her. However, if she had something that was not ru'uya for marriage, if she was also to him in any way to be married to him, or Rahman al-Islam, if she committed an aveira, that he's forced to divorce her, so then he's allowed to. I'm Rav Kana. Rav Kana says, Amrisa l'shmaisa kamed the Rav Zvid min Ardoi. I said over the following in front of Rav Zvid from Ardoi. And I said, Nese asei, benitche lo sasei. Why don't we say that the mitzvah sasei over here of saying that he should be marrying her should be docha, the lo sasei of this marriage is not allowed to be occurring because there's some lav involved, or there's even a drabbana involved, or some isser involved over here. Why don't we say that the asei of marrying her should be docha, the lo sasei? We normally have a rule. Asei is docha lo sasei. So Rav Kana relates that Rav Zvid answered him. Amar li, he tells that Rav Zvid said to him, Hecha Amrinon, when do we say, Nese Asei v'nitche lo sasei? When do we say that an Asei is doche lo sasei? That's, for example, Kigon Mila b'tzaras. If a person has a lesion of tzaras on his foreskin, there's normally a prohibition against cutting off a lesion of tzaras. You have to wait till it goes away on its own. There's a whole process that's outlined in the Torah, in the Gemara. So you have to go through the process. You're not allowed to cut it off. But when you have a mitzvah bris milah and the lesion, the tzaras, is on the orla itself, so then the mitzvah aseh of milah is dolchen los aseh that we normally have, not to cut off a lesion of tzaras. Oh, so that's occurring at the same exact moment. The mitzvah of milah is dolche this isser of tzaras. You can't do this bris milah, the lo afshar. You can't do the bris milah, the lo likayum milaseh, without cutting off this lesion. So the aseh over here has to be done in this fashion. There is no other way to do the assay. However, by the case of the ma'anes of the woman, Abu Hocha, what happens if she says, I don't want to marry the guy? He's a bum. Amra, the lo boina, if she says, I don't want to marry this guy, the assay falls apart. There is no assay. We don't say, well, we're going to do this assay against her will. Rahman al Islam, no. Amra, the lo boina, if she says, I don't want to marry this bum, so then, mi ise la se clout. The assay disappears. There is no assay over here. As Rashi says, hashtanami. Now, therefore, in the case, melandino solomar, Aini Rotsa. So we tell us in this situation where there's an Isser involved, she's a mamzeris, let's say. So we don't allow her to go and marry him. So she should say to him, I don't want to marry you. So therefore, the assay is going off in thin air. And therefore, there is no assay to be docha the los assay of not being allowed to marry a mamzeris, for example, or any other lad that would be involved in this marriage. So we teach this lady to say, Melandinosa Lomar Aini Rotsa. And therefore, the assay flies off into thin air. And therefore, there is no assay docha a los assay. With this, we conclude today's share.